Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. And you just saw or heard Redbud Road. It's a song from the album Out There. And who doesn't like that title? Nancy, it's your favorite thing.
I'm out there.
There's always something out there, or we're out there. But it's the first solo album by San Francisco Bay Area vocalist and composer and award-winning newscaster and journalist Dan Ashley. And the album is out now, October 15th. So check it out. Go to his website, danashleymusic.com. You can also get it on Bandcamp. And Bandcamp Fridays are good days because the musicians get paid. So welcome, yay. Dan. How are you?
Lisa, Nancy, I'm great. It's so wonderful to be with you. You're so kind to have me on.
Oh, we're excited about this. Your album, yeah. We love it because it's just, we need music like that. It's just, it's down to earth, And I think you also drive a good vibe of positivity out there with your music. Right. Is that something you, try to do? Or is it just like, how did that come together for you?
Well, that's a great question, Lisa. I think you have to be authentic in everything you do. I tried to do that as a broadcaster for all of these decades. And as a singer-songwriter, I try to come from a place of authenticity. Not everything I write is autobiographical. Some of it is observational, right? But I'm an optimistic person, to be honest, by nature. And I like to approach life that way. So I try to approach my music and songwriting that way. And I tried to, on Out There, write songs that reflected real things that are happening in our world, in our communities, experiences I've had, experiences I've observed, but approach it from a more of an uplifting, positive outlook. Even when you're talking about things that are difficult, you can still look at them through a positive, optimistic lens.
Yeah, so I like that because the news really can get very depressing. And it's hard for a lot of people to find the bright side of something, and so I understand the news has to be upfront and honest, but sometimes having a little light at the end of the tunnel is nice.
Well, I agree, Nancy. It's not all doom and gloom, and certainly what we do at ABC7 is impactful, is important, and at times it's upsetting, and it can be negative and hard hitting, but we, even within that context, we try to strike an optimistic tone that we're solving. So we're not just presenting news, we're solving problems, we're presenting solutions around some of the issues that the community faces through our Building a Better Bay Area Foundation. And so even in that context, I try to approach everything from a glass half full, not half empty.
Oh, I like that. We did a lot of live shows. We started our live shows, it's going to be almost 15 years ago when podcasting first started. And so, we're doing music, thank you. And doing all these, fun interviews, and then you'll be on the air. And I remember it was one of the first times where we've dealt with really serious topics, everything from murder and human trafficking to wildfires, government shutdowns, and shootings. And one show, Gabby Giffords, we were in Tucson, based in Tucson, had been shot at that day during our broadcast. And the gentleman was supposed to come on our show. He's actually a therapist, and he just shook her hand, and he knows her, and had left the scene, and was all shaken. He's like, I don't know if I should come on the show. And I'm like, I think you should. And I'm going, well, holy cow, somebody better help us. Because to be able to cover those things, I always look at what newscasters such as yourself do, because we've had to be able to handle some of the disasters we've had to, it's very sobering. And to be able to come into that mode of saying the right thing, because you can't screw up. You really can't.
It's true. And in situations like that, my goodness, what a circumstance that he had just shaken her hand and then she shot. What a devastating day that was.
And, huge.
For her and for those who were killed. But you're right. You still have to come into those situations looking for a way out. You can't just go down a dark tunnel and not look for the light at the end of that tunnel and a way that as human beings, we can come through on the other side of that and with any luck, find some sunshine and move forward in a positive way, heal wounds, repair damage, look for new solutions. I think all of that is really it fundamentally important. And it's in our nature, a lot of people's nature, I think, to try to make the best of difficult situations. Sometimes, as I've discovered and actually sing about one of the songs, we are at our best when things happen that put us in our worst circumstances. You know, we human beings tend to rise in a very powerful and meaningful way.
Yeah, you bring a sense of community to
your music.
I think
that's true.
I mean, one song you talk about, you know, being part of the, you know, the pandemic, and everyone has to work together, whether it's virtually, you know, your music, that's what I was saying. I think you've been through so many different experiences as a newscaster and just in life in general, and you do a lot of good out there. We want to talk about your foundations and all your nonprofit work too, but I think you bring that to your music in regards to a song. You talk about a serious situation or situations, bring that positivity in, but you have to do it so fast. So I think you just, you know, listening to your music, I was like, wow, you bring in the newscast thing because you can't go on for 10 years either. So you have to, you like move it fast and get to the point and make people feel good still and have that rhythm.
It's true. That's a bit of the challenge. You know, you're trying to cram 10 pounds of material into a 5-pound bag. But we do that on the air in our newscast. There's always more information that we could share, but we try to decide what is the most important elements that we must share. And the same thing in songwriting. And I approach my songwriting the way I do my journalism. I'm a storyteller. So I give you information in the context of a story. And that those stories are in music are characters sometimes, and sometimes they're my observations. You mentioned We Stayed Home, the song I wrote during the pandemic. There was something very powerful, meaningful in those first few months. It was scary. It was a little like 9/11, different but similar in that, boy, everybody seemed united. I mean, we just were facing something together. We stayed home. We did what we were asked to do and what we're supposed to do. And then, you know, fast forward 15, 18 months, and boy, there are divisions again in the country. And we've lost a bit of that sense of community that we felt when we faced a common enemy, COVID-19. The song I wrote later during the pandemic, as things began to change in terms of the tension in the country, political and otherwise, was River City, the first song.
Oh,
on
I
the
love
album.
That song.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Which reflects the angst and the challenges and the divide in our country. But again, I try to do it through a positive lens, you know, divided we fall, united we rise, divided we fall. So if we stand together, we do great things.
Redbud Road, which we started with, and I love that song because it feels, it's like you're going back in memories and, you know, watching it too. It, you know, the video was great. And is that part of your background of being from North Carolina?
It is. You know, I grew up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and Redbud Road, this song is very autobiographical. It is literally the street I grew up on, Redbud Road in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So it's about some of my recollections of childhood, but it really, I hope, reflects a lot of people's recollections of childhood, particularly people of a certain age. You know, you know, Nancy, we didn't grow up locked in our rooms playing video games and spending all the time on social media and the computer. We were out riding bicycles, playing pick the can, playing hide and seek, climbing trees. And what that did for me, I'm one of those fortunate people. I had a happy childhood. And what that did for me was let me use my imagination. You know, I was alone with my thoughts and let my imagination wander. And it was a time for me to dream and ponder things. And that's another song on the album. The title track, Out There, reflects a lifelong fascination with the cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
And as a kid, I used to find my driveway and stare at the night sky and just wonder, what's out there? How could it possibly be so far away? Why is it all there? All those questions. And so that's why I wrote Out There.
You know, when your teachers started showing you constellations and you go home and look at the sky and try to find the constellations, I found a whole bunch of my own constellations. I could never really find theirs, but I'm like, oh, there's a dog over there. There's a cat, you know? Yeah, like you could make anything out of the stars.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
And it's amazing.
I just had a birthday in August, and my wife and our kids gave me a telescope.
Oh, cool.
I've always wanted a telescope. So I saw the other night, I saw the rings of Saturn through the telescope.
Oh, no way.
That's mm-hmm. cool.
How cool.
It was amazing. So, again, I've always been fascinated.
Now, would you go to space?
Well, that's a great question, Lisa. If I could do it safely. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. if I had confidence that I'd be safe doing it. Sure. I'd love to.
Do you know, Dr.?
I want to be the first one on that rocket.
But yeah. you could go with Richard Branson. He's probably a kick in the pants.
I don't know. He'd probably try to. Why? He may jump out with a hot air balloon. You never know.
And I know. You never know what he's going to do.
Well, he went up, and there are some issues with Virgins. One going up there. I know there's some issues. But Dr. Crispy, I know you guys are connected through the Independent Distribution Collective.
Right.
Dr. Crispy, he was on our show, and he's going up. He's one of the people going up. I can't remember.
Is that right?
He's going. He's going to beam up. I mean, he's like a rocket scientist, you know. I remember we were up in Pennsylvania on this farm talking to him on a live show, and it was like, you would go, and he was like, I would go, and now he's going. So you never know what could happen. But we are in your home state, by the way. Today we're in Asheville, and we've been all over North Carolina this year and a little bit last year, near Chapel Hill, Raleigh. We were on a farm. And what I love about the song too, and that's what I think, that you bring this, you want to be a kid again feeling to a lot of the songs. And, you know, even the last song to me kind of makes me feel like where we are right now. We just saw all the fall colors are popping out here. It's really pretty magical. So you have these like vibes of, and fireflies, you know, that all these things that as kids you have this wonderment for, but as adults, let's not lose that. And I think that's something you really bring in through the entire album of, let's not lose the wonder. Mm. Let's keep looking to the out there and wondering what's out there.
I agree. And, you know, I talk a lot. My wife and I have had this conversation, but we all know grown men and women who you don't see laugh very often, very serious. And we can all be serious when we need to be serious, but I've seen guys that, you know, older guys who don't seem to laugh very much. And I wonder, surely when they were younger, they did, you know, and where do we lose that sense of joy and that sense of, and some of it gets knocked out of us by difficult times in life. And you know, when I have a Pollyanna attitude, you know, we all deal with tough times. But when you deal with tough times with a sense of optimism, I think it makes all the difference. I was just talking to a guy yesterday who's got to be in his 70s, late 70s. He just had a really tough bout of cancer. And he went through, I never heard of this, 600 hours of chemo.
Oh my gosh.
He would have to go to the hospital like Sunday and stay all week a bunch of times. And I said, how'd you do that? He goes, it was tough, but it was fine. He goes, you could tell he had an optimistic outlook. And he said, yeah, the best of it, you know, it is what it is. And I'm sure that's one reason he came through it.
Hmm. You know, we traveled a lot in Africa, and I have the greatest respect for the African nations, because their life is not easy, but they are happy.
And resilient.
They really are. And they take every moment that they can instill more happiness. They do. They sing, they dance, you know, and they just don't get so downtrodden over everything that happens.
You know,
I have a lot of respect for that.
It's so true. I've spent a couple of weeks in Tanzania a few years
ago.
Oh,
cool.
I formed some great friendships. I'm still in touch with some of the Tanzanians that I met. And I think you're exactly right. They have so much less than we do. And in some ways, so much more.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not tied up.
Family is important. Friends are important. Time together is important. And talk about having an attitude of gratitude. So many seem to, even though they don't have the opportunities or standard of living that we do here.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, that community, right? That community that you have is a, I know you've sung and performed with many great acts over the years, and we still want to talk about that guitar collection behind you, by the way. We have to
Yes.
touch on that. But
Perfect.
your
Cool.
band now that is part of the album, because I know you had a writing partner, and then you've got your regular band that you perform with. Tell us who's involved. I always want the band, every band member must have credit.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
You know, and I'm fortunate, guys. I have an amazing band. I'll start with my musical writing partner, Bill Bentley, who is one of my dearest friends and just an incredible guy. So talented, it's almost intimidating at times, but so kind, so uplifting, and we work really well together. I'll bring him
That's cool.
lyrics and a melody, and he turns it into. He brings his musical sense, and we really have a great a relationship musically and as dear friends, so that works as well. So some of that music begins with what the two of us do, and then my band, we just play my charity golf tournament, which we do to support that event. And my lead guitarist, Vernon Ice Black, you know, is an amazing player, was Mariah Carey's music director and lead guitarist, and now he's mine. And
Cool.
Billy Shoes Johnson is my drummer. He toured with Santana. My keyboardist, Ben Flint,
So
toured with Isaac Hayes. My percussionist toured
cool.
with Pablo Cruz. I just have some
Wow, some
amazing
great.
players. They lift me up.
Right. I mean, how could you not be? You know,
Yeah, really,
it's
look at all
amazing. And you know,
that.
and you've got backgrounds together. I mean, you've got a really good amount of, you know, talent in your band. And then you had some guest members, Cornell CC Carter. He's been on our show. He's awesome too. Cornell's cool, man.
Cornell is one of my dearest
He's
friends
like
in the
soul
world.
man. Yeah, he's so
He's
cool.
actually in Europe touring, and we stay in touch while he's there. He's one of my closest friends. He and I
Oh,
are like
wow.
brothers, and he's helped me as a vocalist enormously. And then he heard this material and wanted to help and wanted to sing. And so I can't tell you how much Cornell means to me as a friend and as a musical
That's great.
muse and instructor and partner. He's just terrific. And then Mike Vandehuhl, who is just a fantastic rock drummer, longtime drummer for YNT, the iconic band that's been around for decades. He's been a friend for a long time, and he heard this music. I didn't ask him, he heard it and he said, "Hey, this is great stuff. I'll play on this." So he played on every track.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Just volunteered to play.
Nice.
So do
That's
you
so
write your
cool.
music on guitar or piano? Where does it start for you?
It starts usually, you know, I know enough guitar to be dangerous, so I usually tinker with the guitar. My sister is a great pianist and violinist. She performs with us as well, and is on
Awesome.
one of the songs. She
Cool.
played with the symphony. And my sister Deb. So it starts usually with guitar and in my head, and it starts with a story and what do I want to sing about and what comes to me. And I, you know, at any given time, I have, you know, 10 songs I'm working on, just piecing together. I'm doing one now that we think is going to be great, that's really powerful and talks about something very real. But then Bill and I get together, and Bill is the expert guitarist, and he goes in and really starts to help me put together what we think will be a compelling tune.
Now, do you play any of the guitars behind you from this amazing collection?
You know, I actually don't. I have I they're signed
So
guitars.
they're locked up.
So that, yeah, you can open them. I don't know if they're even locked now, but I keep them there so they don't get dusty. And I have like a
Yeah.
this is cute. I have, this one is there's a this is from Patti LaBelle.
Oh,
She
wow.
kissed it, put lipstick on and kissed it.
Oh, you
Oh,
got
that's
it. See,
fun.
it's like it reminds me of the old Traveling Wilburys song with Tom Petty, stored in a cool, keep it in a cool, dry place. You
Yeah,
gotta say,
exactly.
keep her
You know,
kiss.
you want it to last. And Eddie Money, Cheap Trick, Melissa Etheridge.
Awesome. And you
Uh,
played with Melissa, right?
I did
Yeah, you did.
her Journey, Sammy Hagar, the red one there,
All
who's a
right. Wow.
gentleman. And then who's that last one? Oh yeah, Rick Springfield.
All right on.
Oh,
So
wow.
I don't play them because to me they're like having a painting. They're like works of art, you know. So I just play them, and I
So
have
now
some that
all
study.
the strings on them, right?
Yeah. Oh, they're in perfect working
So they
order.
never pop because they're all kept it there all in those cool dry place.
Yeah, I've never really played them, and I have a few others in my study too. But
wow.
I just play them. It's like hanging a painting to me. It's a neat keepsake, you know.
Yeah. It's funny that Sammy Hagar has to have the red one. He would. That's his personality. It's like, I'm out there, man.
Red rocker.
Yeah, off you go. But so that's something that you're actively collecting guitars. Do you collect any other instruments?
No, just guitars. And you know, whenever I'm around an artist or we perform with somebody or they support my charity event, I ask them to sign, you know, sign one to me. And so I collect it. It's a memento is really what it is.
That's cool. Now, what about the foundation? Tell us about your foundation. Yes.
Well, thank you for asking it. You know, it's very near and dear to my heart. I created a foundation 8 years ago, I think, called Rock the Casa.
Mm-hmm.
And it supports several organizations that help underserved kids in need. And one is CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocate.
Right. Yeah.
And which when a child is removed from their home because of abuse and neglect, CASA, a volunteer steps in and lets a child know that we have your back. I'm on the board. Friends of Camp Concord, I mentioned the golf tournament I just held to send underserved kids to summer camp. And I've hosted this golf tournament for 26 years. And we've sent, as of summer before COVID and counting this summer during COVID, more than 10,000 underserved kids, all expenses paid, wow, summer camp in Tahoe. So my foundation, Rock the Casa, supports those two organizations. In addition to, you know, I'm on the boards of those and I support those directly. And then my foundation supports those, also Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and Boys and Girls Club are beneficiaries.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. So cool that you're helping the youth.
Underserved kids in need.
Yeah. No, it's so important. Awesome. You know, you see what's going on in the world. And I remember right before we started our tour back in 2012, part of our reason it's parks and, you know, keeping our parks and public lands so that kids that may not have all the benefits are able to go to these spaces and breathe and play. Right. So now we cover every single park. Every little park is important. You know, we need the swing set. We need those kind of places for, you know, especially our youth. But it was really the people who are homeless that really got us. We saw so many places on a road trip to the Everglades. So many places closed up, boarded up, and we're going, responsible tourism can be an answer for jobs. You know, this was after the 2008 crash. And at that time, we had interviewed a lady. Her name is Pat LaMarche. Her and Diane Nyland. Diane goes around the country documenting homeless situations, who, what, and where, how is it happening. That time, the average homeless person's age was 9 years old.
Wow. Isn't that devastating? Yeah.
That is crazy.
So, it's whatever we can do to help kids, and that probably helps the family. And from the interviews we've done about homelessness, it's always a family trauma. And a split, something happened as a family trauma that leads to homelessness of all ages.
There's a catalyst of some
kind. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're so right about those open spaces. And I think what Lisa and Nancy, what you guys are doing to protect and to call attention to those great natural resources, we're so fortunate in this country to have so many, whether it's Yellowstone, Yosemite, on and on. The Appalachian Trail, where you are right now, and state, Asheville, such a beautiful community, are so important. And to give all of us, but certainly children, the chance to see and appreciate the beautiful natural environment and natural heritage that we've all benefited from is just so important. So I think it's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. We're having a ball. Honestly, yes, we're a little nuts. I mean, in 24 hours, we went from filming gators and waterfowl and egrets and herons and manatees to elk in the Smoky Mountains within 24 hours. So we're a little nuts, but I'm telling you, it's awesome. But these spaces are cool. You know, we had a band way back when, and one of our favorite things is to perform outside. For you, what is that like? I mean, getting the right venue. Do you like indoor cozy pubs? I mean, now with the whole COVID up and down, outdoor spaces is probably the best. But for you, where's your favorite venue in the Bay Area? Where you are now?
I've been fortunate to play several. You know, we played outside at my golf tournament because it's not for safety, but also we always play outside there. I just played a few weeks ago the iconic Golden Gate Park band shell.
No way.
Which is, ooh, nice.
Which is an amazing venue that so yeah. many great artists over the decades have performed, and it's just been refurbished wow. and the series is brought back. So that was a pretty spectacular venue, I have to say. And, you know, I just like to play. So whether it's yeah. indoors, you know, those great outdoor stages are always fun, right? But you know, if it's a packed indoor pre-COVID or post-COVID, you know, those fun indoor events when everybody's having a great time, that's fun too.
Yeah, yeah. The parties, everybody starts dancing and actual movement, you know what I mean?
Great.
Get that feeling, you know? So what do you do, like a rock festival every year for Rock the Casa? Is that how
I do. I stage a concert and you know, that it's a lot of work, but
yeah,
you know, putting on a concert with a major act like REO Speedwagon or somebody mm-hmm. like that, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and I do it at a great performing arts center in Walnut Creek every year. Last year, because of COVID, we did a virtual event, and it's mm-hmm. always, it's usually the first Saturday in March, but we're kind of moving now to the first Saturday in April because the weather tends to be a little bit better. We did a virtual event with Chuck Lavelle, who's a good friend of mine from the Rolling Stones, the longtime mm-hmm. keyboardist. And it was in some ways one of our favorites because you felt like you're at a private party of the sponsors and the patrons. Just the cameras at the foot of his piano at his tree farm in Atlanta, outside Atlanta, a couple hours outside of Atlanta cool. in Georgia. And he performed and then took questions about environmentalism and music, whatever you wanted,
wow.
and then played again. So he played, you know, 20, 25 minutes, took 10, 15 minutes of questions and played a song to conclude. You know, you don't want to do that every year because people want a rock concert experience. Mm-hmm. But for COVID, it was great. You felt like you were, you know, at his home. So we're going to do another, because it's coming up in just 6 months, another virtual event this year too.
You got to keep us posted. Yeah, keep us posted. Make sure we get all the PR stuff. We'll definitely promote it for folks. Absolutely.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you very much. It's a great event. It's lots of people really enjoy it. We raise great money for these causes.
Awesome.
This is fantastic what you're doing. I love that. You know, we stayed home. I want to close with that song, you know, because COVID is still, I mean, it's up and down even as we're in the, you know, fall right now, we're going towards the holiday season. And as, you know, we travel, we're still going through detours. You think you're going somewhere, then all of a sudden, you're not. So, you know, so we're, you know, it's constant detours, but, you know, people, we had to stay home too. We were in California when it all first happened and we stayed at our friends out in Joshua Tree, where we used to live out in that area. And it was not a bad place to be locked in for a while, but you know, it was beautiful, but then the park closed. So then that kind of sucked, but
yeah, it did.
But your video and the song that you wrote, I love it. You have all these people coming together. How many people are on that video? Cause it went beyond your band.
You know, yeah, it went beyond my release. I don't even know. It's my band members are all in there. Mm-hmm. My wife is in there. She sings with mm-hmm. us sometimes fun, and my sister, my band members. But there's also just friends of friends, community members that we included because we wanted it to have that sense of community that, hey, look, we're all experiencing something. And, you know, I'm so fortunate to get to work with some terrific people and work for a wonderful company and work for a television station that is so supportive of all of my efforts in the community, and the station itself is really involved in the community. So We Stayed Home was just, I was inspired and moved by how we as a citizenry kind of came together during those first few months. It was scary, intimidating. We didn't know what to expect. Things locked down, and it was an anxious time. But I wanted to do something that reflected how we were all in it together.
And people kind of dropped all the airs. We had to get real as human beings, like as you know, newscasting, you know, all of a sudden a dog will walk through. I mean, I can't tell you how many cats and dogs and, you know, have so ended up on our shows, and it's okay us. It's part of it.
It
brings this element of joy. And there's all these statistics that prove people enjoy that. So I kind of like the fact that things just had to be not perfect now. And
I agree.
I think we got to know each other better.
I think we did. Mm-hmm. And you know, I went to the station every day and I did our broadcast. Wow. I volunteered to go in. I felt like I wanted to be there. You know, I've been here for a long time and I felt it was important to have that kind of stability for folks, it's something that looks normal. And my colleagues were able to work from home. And I think it was a wonderful time for them, but for the audience to see them in their home environment. And, you know, whether we did our broadcast that way, what you guys did, just people holding Zoom meetings at work and suddenly their kids are in the background, the dog, it was very humanizing. And I think we dropped a lot of pretense. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure we'll ever go back, which I think is a good thing. I think we all kind of got a little more, I used the word at the top of our time together, authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
People are realizing they can't do it alone. We need each other. We really do. And then there's that, it's not, whatever you thought about a person you decided you didn't like, you found out that they're not that bad. Maybe just change your attitude, a little adjustment.
And so get to know them a little bit. See their human side. And then suddenly they're very much like me in some ways.
In closing, I want to ask you this question, because obviously, number one, you're a storyteller, right? So you're connecting through the news, through your journalist stories, and then also through music, right? And you're connecting people. But you're balancing two different careers. I mean, this is something where people go, oh, you can't do that if you're doing this. You can't, you know, the can't word, which we don't like. But for someone young, because I look at what you're doing also with the nonprofit. So you're balancing a lot of things. For someone getting started in music and have those dual things going, you know, because a lot of people say you need to focus on one, but they're good at more than one thing or want to pursue more than one avenue, especially for youth making decisions now, going to college, I want to do this and I want to do that. And, you know, again, that shutdown, you're doing multiple things, which we understand because we're the blend and you don't limit us. But what would your advice be to someone getting started out in their careers, no matter what it is?
Well, I think that's a really great question, Lisa. And I would say, follow your heart, follow your star, pursue your passions in life. You know, you have to build a good career. And I've been very fortunate as a journalist to do exactly what I've always wanted to do. And that's afforded me, you know, the opportunities to see so many things and to tell stories. You know, whether it's being at the Columbine shooting, John Glenn's return to space, Auschwitz in Poland, Holocaust survivors, on and on and on. Those opportunities made me a better journalist, made me a better contributor at ABC7 because of those life, and it made me a better and more interesting person. It was these were great professional and personal experiences, and that enabled me to bring some of this to songwriting. And and so you can, you know, I like those old time vaudeville thing. I'm kind of a plate spinner, you know, you got several plates spinning and you just keep them going. You know, my first love is always journalism, and it, you know, it's been my life's work. But music is certainly something that I, in a similar way, you can communicate with people, and that's what I'm doing. That's all it is. I'm trying to communicate and share ideas and share emotions and have fun doing it. And then the nonprofit work, you know, I'm so fortunate to have a position in the community that gives me a platform. It's the least you can do. So I would tell a young person, follow your heart. Do what you think is like your heart's desire and what motivates you. And you'll always be successful doing that. Things may not turn out the way you intend, but go for it, whatever that is. And give yourself fully to it.
Agreed. Absolutely. I think so. Because one thing will work off of each other. Like, you can't have more than one plate spinning if you don't have another plate, you know, just saying.
There's a lot of plates.
And it's so much more fun to be a juggler than just sitting there with, I've just got one banana in my hand and now it's rotten. You know,
adventure. Exactly. Life should be an adventure. So
go play, absolutely. We're going to close with "We Stayed Home," so everyone enjoy that. But again, go get the album "Out There." That's such a great title, "Out There," again by Dan Ashley, and you can go to his website, danashleymusic.com. Get it on Bandcamp. Everywhere you can get it, go get it. And we got to give a shout out to our sponsor for today's show, which is the National Parks Arts Foundation. We air every first Friday our interview with an artist in residence in a national park unit, awesome. All put through the National Parks Arts Foundation. So whether you're a writer, poet, musician, filmmaker, go apply. Go to nationalparksartsfoundation.org. There are your unique residencies. Now, Dan, I want to know if you would do this. One of the residencies, you get to stay off-grid for a month on Loggerhead Key at Dry Tortugas National Park in Florida on your own island. In fact, you actually get taken to the island by boat. Would you do
that?
There
you go.
You have to have a partner with you so your wife could go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would love to do that, actually. Time to read and to write and to write music. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Or Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Does that
That'd be a dream.
Yeah, wouldn't
it? National Parks, you guys, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so everyone, check them out, nationalparksartsfoundation.org, and keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, Nancy. Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate everybody watching, and I'll see you soon.
Started as a trickle. Crisis was at hand, spread so fast, big cities, small towns, ain't no choice, got to shut it all down. He stayed home, spirit strong as bone, he stayed home, but no one was alone, ain't no 6 feet. Of shop, every mom and pop trying to